If you have your Bibles, please open to 1 Peter 3 for a reason that I think will become plain at the end. I'm going to read verses 1 through 7. The sermon this morning is on verse 7. But I want you to see it within its little bit broader context. Likewise, wives, be subject to your own husbands, so that even if some do not obey the word, they may be won without a word by the conduct of their wives, when they see a respectful and pure conduct. Do not let your adorning be external, the braiding of hair, the wearing of gold, or the putting on of clothing. But let your adorning be the hidden person of the heart, with the imperishable beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which in God's sight is very precious. For this is how the holy women who hoped in God used to adorn themselves by submitting to their husbands, as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. And you are her children if you do good and do not fear anything that is frightening. Here's our text for this morning. Likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered. So having spent the last several weeks leaning on the women in 1 Peter 3, 1 through 6, the first six verses of this chapter, which address in particular Christian wives, we're now to 3, 7, which leans on and addresses Christian husbands, and all the wives said, amen, it's about time. Bunch of elbow nudges going on. Listen up, honey, this one's for you. Before getting to that text and topic, however, hear this, please. Again, at the risk of doing this too often, I do this too often. I need those of you who maybe missed a week, or maybe this is your first time here perhaps, or maybe you just forgot, or maybe your tendency is not to remind yourself of this in the way that you ought, but this text is in a certain context. And if you don't get that context, you have no hope of rightly applying and understanding and applying verse 7. So let's back up just a little bit. Before getting to the text and topic of husbands, Christian husbands, and how they ought to conduct themselves in the midst of trials, I want to remind you that this is part of a section that goes from chapter 2, verse 13. If you have your Bibles, you can see it. It begins, if you have an ESV at least, the heading is submission to authority. And it goes all the way down to chapter 3, verse 12. And you can see chapter 3, verse 8 starts with, finally, all of you. And so it begins in verse 13 of chapter 2 and ends in verse 12 of chapter 13. And so fitting this in its proper context is crucial, husbands, if we're to understand this, church, if we're to understand this. And the idea here, the main point of that section, chapter 2, verse 13 through chapter 3, verse 12, the main point of that section is to call Christians, especially suffering or persecuted Christians, to be, and you see it right there in verse 12 or verse 13 of chapter 2, to be subject for the Lord's sake. That's key. If he just said be subject to every human institution, that would mean one thing. But to be subject for the Lord's sake, which we don't fully know what he means until verses 21 through 24 of chapter 2. What does it mean to be subject for the Lord's sake? He tells us a little bit later. But to be subject to the Lord's sake for every human institution. So this command to husbands in chapter 3, verse 7 is inside this larger address to Christians under persecution, under human institutions, to continue submitting to those human institutions, the very ones that in some cases are causing the suffering and persecution that they're under. And he commands them to do this. That's the main point, is to submit continually to every human institution as a means of honoring God in whatever situation you find yourselves in. That's his main point to the church in that section. Let me say it a little bit simpler still. 25 verses, and in them Peter charges his readers, as well as you and I, to respond to the various institutional trials that come our way in light of the gospel, rather than in light of anything else. That's what it means to do for the Lord's sake. That's what he means in chapter 2, verses 21 through 25. What are some other things we might be tempted, rather than the gospel, what are some other things that as you experience trials, you might be tempted to respond based on? If not the gospel, what? Your pursuit of your comfort, that's one I find in myself quite a bit. When trials come my way, what do I want? I want to get out of things quickly. And so, Peter's main charge is, Dave, instead of trying to get out of this as quickly as possible, do it for the sake of the gospel. What are some other reasons we might, or some other ways we might respond? How about according to my rights? I don't deserve this. The government has no right to treat me like this. I deserve to be treated better. It might be something that has gone through your head in the past. Peter says, before you ever do that, even if you may never get there, but if you do get there, make sure before you get there, you think, what about the gospel? How does what I'm about to do next relate to the gospel? How does it point to it? How about this? Wives, we just spent 4 weeks on calling you to submit to your unbelieving husbands in a certain way. What goes through your mind as you consider that? And in particular, as your husband disobeys the Lord and causes you to suffer in light of that, what goes through your mind? Maybe vengeance. I want to get back at him. Justice. Wrath. In some ways, that makes sense. It would be appropriate. But Peter says that can never be first or main. The main thing in your mind, in your heart, needs to be, what can I do in light of this that will point people to the gospel? So let me, one more time, same thing. Peter calls you and I to ask ourselves, whenever we encounter trials of various kinds, and especially institutional trials, or government, or with marriages or families, or with our bosses, whenever we face trials of any kinds, in particular institutional trials, we don't ask ourselves, how do I get out of this as quickly as possible, by any means possible? That's usually what we ask. But Peter says, don't do that. Instead, ask, what can I do right now? Suffering is on you. What can I do right now that would most clearly demonstrate the reality and saving power of Jesus' death on the cross? That the Spirit lives in me, that I'm new, that I'm living for something differently than I was when I was dead in my trespasses and sins. Husbands, if you don't get that, you're going to just maybe have a checklist of things you're going to try to do this morning as a result of this text, at best. But with that, it changes the nature of the honor you're meant to give your wives. It makes it it sounds in some cases like it's tricky and challenging, but rightly understood, it's more tricky and more challenging. But it's also more glorious. And so far, Peter has specifically addressed these things, these charges to Christian citizens of non-Christian governments, Christian servants of non-Christian masters, and Christian wives of non-Christian husbands. He calls all of them to look to Christ, to the example of Christ, and to point to the saving sacrificial death of Christ in their suffering. And he's given specific instructions on how do you do that. What is it in Christ's example you're meant to look at? What is it that you're meant to do? How do you honor God in the suffering? That's what he's done so far. Again, that's the context. And so we get to 3:7. And in that, Peter turns his attention to Christian husbands, focusing specifically on how they are to honor God within the institution of marriage, the human institution of marriage, in spite of the challenging circumstances around them. Now here's the key. Here's the key to this passage. As you can see, just look at it. It's one verse. Look at verse 7. Chapter 3, verse 7. You can see, I think, pretty plainly that the heart of this passage is Peter's call to Christian husbands to honor their wives. That's the heart of this. And so men, boys, this is going to be your charge one day, Lord willing. Husbands, this is our charge now. Let's pray that God would make it clear to us what this means, because it means more than you think it does. Pray also that He would give us a love for this, not just a willingness to do that. That's a place to start, but we want more than just a willingness to honor our wives. We want a love for it. We want His power to carry it out. Church, pray for us in this. And I confess, this, men, see if you have any of this in you. But as I spent the week in this text, the thing that kept going through my mind is, I'm not as good at this as I should be. In fact, I'm bad at this in some ways. And I think part of the root of that is that I've confused not dishonoring my wife with honoring her. See the difference? In other words, there's a difference between not doing things that would bring dishonor to her and positively committing yourself to continually bringing honor. So, men, see if you find that in yourself. If not that, what? Let's give ourselves to pray right now that God would do this good work in us. God, thank you for this relatively straightforward and remarkably practical admonition to the husbands of grace, to all of the husbands in your church. Please help us to see this. Help us to see it plainly. By your Spirit, convict us of where we fall short, but also by your Spirit, enable us to joyfully repent of our sin, of our sins of abdication, or our sins even of dishonoring our wives. Cause us to see the rightness of this beyond even our wives, even to the very honor of Christ, and live differently as a result of this. Thank you for your word. Thank you that it reveals your will and the path of life and joy and godliness. May we take it this morning for your name's sake, I pray. Amen. So Christian husbands, again, see this, don't miss this, let this be at the front of your mind this whole time. The main charge in this passage is for you and I, and it is to honor our wives as a means of honoring Christ. Consider again Peter's words. Likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman. The main question before us then is, what does it mean to do that? How do we do that? What does that look like? How does that show up in my everyday life? Peter provides help. But men, hear this. Be aware of the fact that Peter's charge here means a good deal more than might be obvious on the surface. I hope that becomes clear really quickly here as we consider the nature, the means, and the reasoning behind Peter's command. First, the nature. Showing honor to our wives means submitting to our wives. Remember, we know that because of the larger context in which this is in. The likewise at the beginning of the verse lets us know that Peter's continuing his thought that began way back in 2:13, which calls God's people, as we saw in the introduction, to be subject to every human institution. Sin tempts us, men, doesn't it? Tempts all of us, really. Ladies, you're not immune from this. But sin tempts all of us, including husbands, to demand that others submit to us by honoring us. I thought about this a decent amount this week too. Walking into a room, typically, my hope is that one of you will notice the greatness of Dave. It's pretty ridiculous, I know that, and it feels weird to say that out loud, but if I'm being honest, there's hints of that in me each time I walk into a room. I want somebody to notice me and to do something to make me feel welcomed. There's a sense in which, in order to obey this command, husbands, we need to realize that tendency in ourselves. Sin tempts all of us to demand that others submit to us by showing us honor. But Peter writes that Christian husbands, along with all of God's people, are instead to draw attention to the gospel by submitting to our wives, by working to show their honor, especially in times of trial. So walking into a room, Christian, the idea is, who can I serve? Who can I bless? Who can I lay my life down for? Somebody in this room has gone through a rough day, a rough week, maybe a rough year. Walk into a room, and my first thought ought to be, how can I find that person and bless that person and maybe be a means of grace to that person? And husbands in particular, this is part of a larger context on submitting. I think what that helps us to see is we need to submit our selfishness, our self-interest in some ways, lay our lives down, subject ourselves to our wives for the sake of their honor. This, of course, is a different kind of submission than that which Peter has called for in citizens, servants, and wives. But as we'll see next week, it is similar to the kind of submission, subjection he calls for among all Christians, which is the last group, chapter 3, verses 8 through 12. But here's the point, and don't miss this. Showing honor to our wives requires a type of submission to them which lays down our pride and selfishness to serve them. That's the first thing it means. Peter's command also means that Christian husbands are to show honor in the ways prescribed by Peter, which we'll get to their wives, even if their wives are not Christians. This is really important, men. I think you'll see why even more clearly in the next point. But this is also indicated by the likewise with which he begins this verse. In each of the previous examples, citizens, servants, and wives, Peter explicitly indicated that he was writing to Christians who are interacting with non-Christians within the various human institutions. Though not explicitly stated, in verse 7, it is likely that Peter has in mind Christian husbands honoring their wives no matter what. Now we'll see in just a minute, he also refers to them as co-heirs or joint heirs of life. So he does have Christian wives in mind as well. But men, I think the context helps us to see this isn't limited to that. Men, if your wife is not a Christian, or is a newer, less mature Christian, this charge is as much for you, and in some ways more for you. The nature of the honoring called for by Peter is not dependent upon the status of our wives' salvation. It's easier to do at times if our wives are saved and mature in their faith, but it's not dependent upon that. You need to see that, men. So on your wife's worst days, on the days she appears most dishonorable, is when this passage kicks in even more, because it gives you the opportunity then to highlight the gospel even more. To give to her what, on the surface at least, it seems as if she doesn't deserve, because Christ gives to you constantly what you don't deserve. And so all of this, of course, means therefore we need to be clear on what honoring is. If we're to do it, if we're to do it as an act of submission, if we're to do it even if our wives are not trusting in Christ, what is it that we're supposed to do? In the sense in which Peter uses the term showing honor, he means to esteem highly, or to demonstrate special respect, or to acknowledge significant value. Men, we need two things right off the bat if we're to do this rightly. If that's what honoring our wives is, we need two things right away. First, we need to believe that our wives are truly worthy of those things. Men, stop for a minute. Confess any sin that relates to this. But the first thing we need is to believe that our wives are truly worthy of high esteem, great respect, and significant value. Peter is not charging you and I to show fake honor. That doesn't honor anybody. Our wives smell through that in a second. He means us to really see these things, believe these things, and then show these things to and of our wives. I feel bad for wives whose husbands, including me at times, unfortunately, do not recognize the honor of their wives. But that leads to the second thing, which is even more crucial. If we are to highly esteem, demonstrate respect, and acknowledge significant value in our wives, that is to say, if we are to show proper honor, we need to understand that the honor in which we are to show our wives has been put in them by God. Husbands, hear that. Men, hear that. The honor which we're to show them was put in them by God. Our wives are honorable not ultimately because of anything they did on their own, but because of something that God has declared of them and done to them. That is, they are His image bearers. They have been fashioned in His image. We don't give our wives honor, therefore. Men, we don't give our wives honor, therefore. We simply recognize what God has already put in them as His image bearers. We show it, we highlight it, we recognize it in the ways prescribed by God. All wives are worthy of being shown honor because all wives are made in God's image. Peter's command is for husbands to put that God-given honor on display. That's what we're after here. This is similar to Paul's command to wives to be respectful or to respect their husbands. The respect required of a wife isn't ultimately contingent upon the husband's respectability. It's a lot easier to do when a husband is respectable, but it's not contingent on that. It's contingent upon the goodness and image of God. Again then, men, honoring our wives means doing so ultimately because they bear God's honor. So look at your wife, whatever the state of her soul, whatever the state of her dress or her appearance, whatever measure of strength or weakness she has in this given moment, there is an honor that is inside of her that doesn't change as God's holy image bearer. That's a lot in terms of what honoring our wives means, but there's more still. The verb tense of the command, showing honor to the woman, means that it is an ongoing action. It is not something, there's a collective sigh among the guys. It is not something that can be accomplished on Mother's Day and her birthday alone, okay? I know that that would be easier, and some of us act that way at times. But the idea here is that it's not even meant to be merely on a regular basis. It's not even merely meant to be that. Showing the honor of our wives is to be an ongoing act of joyful obedience. In other words, we are to be continually showing honor to our wives. Additionally, Peter's words mean that showing honor to our wives is not optional. Not only does it need to be happening continually, it needs to be happening. It is not merely a good idea, one thing we might do among many men. Honoring our wives is part of the very definition of being a husband. What does it mean to be a husband? Part of the very definition of it is to be an honor shower. Write that down, guys. Part of the very definition of a husband is to be an honor shower. Just as a tool that cannot spin cannot be a drill, whatever else it is, if it can't spin, it can't be a drill. Peter's instructions mean that a man who does not show honor to his wife cannot be functioning as a husband. There's something broken inside of his husbandry. That's not all yet. It means something else. It also means, as his instructions indicate, we'll see in a few minutes, it also means that it is not up to us men to determine how to show honor to our wives. It is not up to us to determine whether or not we will show honor to our wives, and it is also not up to us to decide how to show honor to our wives. It is God who created our wives, it is God who infused them with a particular kind of honor, and it is God, therefore, who determines what it means to put that honor on display. The world around us claims that women are honored in certain ways. The world around us claims that women are honored in certain ways. Many of them, however, are in direct contradiction to God's word. In fact, much of what Peter calls honor and many of the many ways he charges the husbands to show it, the world would call dishonor. And that leads to the next point, the means of showing honor to our wives. So hopefully we're clear on its nature, what honoring them is. But let's talk about what Peter refers to as the means then. How do we actually do it? What does it actually look like? How are Christian husbands to show the honor that God has given to our wives? It's not enough, Peter wrote, to see our wives' honor. We need to do that, and it starts there. But it's not enough merely to see it. We also need to show it. The main way we do so, according to this passage, is by living with them in an understanding way. Remember, the main heading is to be about the business of showing the honor of our wives as a means of honoring Christ. That's the main thrust of the passage. But the main way in which we do that is by living with them in an understanding way. That is, we put their God-infused honor on display by living with them, and here's a more literal translation, according to knowledge. Does it mean to live with them in an understanding way? Another way to say that is by living with them according to knowledge. To obey Peter's charge means acquiring all kinds of knowledge about our wives. Men, you need to get a PhD in your wife. Peter mentions two specific pieces of knowledge that you need to have of them, which are common to all women, to all wives. We'll get to that in a little bit. But we need to see the bigger picture first. And here's what I mean. Men, if we are to esteem God's image in our wives, listen to that. Do you see it already? If we are to esteem God's image in our wives, as if we're to honor them, we must begin with the right understanding of or knowledge of the image of God Himself. Do you want to excel at honoring your wife, at obeying Peter's command? If so, you and I must begin not with our wives, but with theology. We will never be able to honor God's image in our wives better than we understand God's image. Do you see that, men? Give yourselves, husbands of grace, to the Word of God if you are to have any hope of obeying this command in maturity. Practically, this means, for example, knowing that God is gentle. Our God is a gentle God under certain circumstances. And therefore, joyfully drawing attention to our wives' gentleness when it shows itself. You see that? Begins with the nature of God. It begins with knowing what God's image looks like in our wives. We honor them by drawing attention to that, praising them, and drawing the attention of others to that in them. Likewise, it means knowing that God is compassionate, wise, nurturing, and strong in praising these things in our lives as we witness them. But you wouldn't know to do that if you didn't know the nature of God. Do you see that? Then you need to be good theologians if you're to be good wife honorers. That's one way to go about showing honor to our wives. But it also means that if we are to truly honor God's image in our wives, we must understand or have knowledge of how God's image is born uniquely in them as women, as people of God, but as women. So again, there's the broadest context of understanding God, men, but then next we need to understand how God has uniquely infused His image into women, as women. So before our wives, they are women. And before they're women, they are people created by God. If we are, therefore, to properly show honor to our wives in the particular ways that are unique to them, meaning your specific wife, before we're ever able to do that, we must be clear on how God has put His honor into all mankind and women in general. Again, practically, this means understanding that God has made women to bear His glory in unique ways as, for instance, helpers. Genesis 2:18, it's one of the first things that God says of the uniqueness of a woman. We go about showing honor to our wives even more appropriately, therefore, by praising her and drawing attention to her in her helping. Now, men, of course, are meant to be helpers in certain ways as well, but there's a uniqueness in which God has put His image and glory in a woman as a helper. So to be even more mature in our honoring of our wives, we need to see the specific ways God's image is born in them. Our culture might believe that self-focus, think about this, guys, what does our culture tell us is honorable in women? Wives. Our culture might believe that self-focus, independence, explicit sexuality are honorable, but we must constantly remind ourselves that it is God's Word, not pop culture, that decides how His creatures are to be properly shown honor. Do you see this? So to do that, you need to know God's Word, and you need to know what it says about God Himself, and you need to know what it says particularly about how God has put His image in women. And then, and only then, men, can we obey Peter's command specifically to show honor to our particular wives. We must have knowledge of things which are truly unique to them, to our wives, the specific ways in which God has designed her to bear His image. This can be tricky. But it also has some of the greatest potential both to show the honor of God and to our wives. The previous two things that I just drew your attention to, understanding God and understanding women in general, how the Word of God speaks to them, can be done neatly and tidily, and you don't even need a wife to do those things. You can do all those things by yourself with your Bible. This third aspect of knowing your wife in particular requires a bit more messiness, and it requires an actual wife. So let me give you an example. At one point, Jerry was expressing to me the reasonable struggle she was having about the fact that I had not taken her out on a date in a while. Makes sense. She was right to struggle with that. I acknowledged, at least as I recall it, I acknowledged my failure and apologized. I also made note of the fact that it was a matter of oversight rather than a lack of desire to go on a date. I can be thick in the head. And it just hadn't occurred to me, rather than it occurred to me, and I decided I didn't want to go on a date with her. I further suggested, being the reasonable guy that I am, that in the future, I would be excited for her to let me know about her desire to go out, rather than wait on me to figure it out on my own, which may or may not actually happen. So what I didn't realize at the time, but I do now, is that having to ask on her part, not having to ask is part of what makes the date special for her. I think most women experience this to some degree, and probably most people, really, I guess, to some degree, but it is especially important to my wife. And so for me to live with her in an understanding way, and thus to show her honor, means me understanding that about her. Do you see that? So there's the bigger picture, where if we're to honor the image of God in our wives, we need to understand the image of God. If we're to understand the image of God in our wives in the more general sense, we need to understand how God has particularly put His glory in women. But if we're to honor our actual wives, we need to study them. And this means getting over some of our hardwiring men to fixate on tasks rather than people, to expect a kind of directness that God has maybe given more to men or is more common among men, and to value logic above relational connectedness or emotions, for instance. God has gifted us differently than our wives. But if we're going to honor them by living with them in an understanding way, we must not expect our marriages to be about them knowing and conforming to us exclusively. And so if we're to obey this command then, which we must, for a reason which we'll soon see, we must be students of the Word and of our wives. Being students of our wives means listening to them a lot, which again, I'm not awesome at. Watching them carefully. One of my good friends, actually, I don't know if he still does this, so I'm not going to say his name just in case he doesn't have it with him. But he used to have a little notepad that he would keep in his shirt. And he always, for whatever reason, he always had a shirt with a pocket in it. He would keep a little notepad in it, and when he would notice his wife liking a dress at the store or making a comment about something she appreciated, he would quick jot it down. How cool is that? Now you got a phone, you know, you can sync it to all your whatever. Just take a picture. But the point is, it means being careful that way. It means paying attention that way. It means watching our wives, asking good questions, and praying for the Spirit's guidance. Being students of God's Word to this end means reading the Bible through this lens. It means reading it carefully as it speaks to God's nature and the uniquely feminine ways of glory bearing. If we're going to honor that in them, we need to see that. And so with that, I need to return to something I alluded to earlier. Peter gives two specific pieces of knowledge. So the point of these three things was to see there's a general pool of knowledge we need to tap into, men. But there are two specific things. If you're to honor your wife by living with her in an understanding way, Peter gives two particular things you need to understand or have knowledge of. There are two specific aspects of our wives' honor, which we must learn. Number one, that our wives are weaker vessels. He says, likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman as a weaker vessel. And number two, that they are heirs with us of the grace of life. He says, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life. Without these two pieces of knowledge, we're not going to be able to properly honor our wives. So let's consider each of them. First, her honor is in part. Now again, this is countercultural. You don't see an ad on TV talking about this. Your wife, men, your wife's honor in part is in the fact that she is a weaker vessel. In this context, vessel just means body. In this sense then, Peter is pointing out the fact that in general, men are physically stronger than women. And there is an honor in this weakness that husbands need to see and esteem. Paul speaks to this in more than one place, passages like 2 Corinthians 4:7 as well. Now understood this way, it is clear that being a weaker vessel does not mean that women or wives are less valuable than their husbands. It does not mean that they're less competent. There are so many ways in which the wives in this room are more competent than the husbands in this room. It does not mean that they are less important, and it does not mean that they are less strong in other areas. Like, as soon as a drop of blood comes out, there's a strength in my wife that is remarkably intimidating to me. Out of people, not animals. The first thing we need to have specific knowledge of is our wives as weaker vessels, that is, weaker bodies. To show honor to our wives means living with them with this in mind. And that means oftentimes being the primary worker or protector or provider. It often means being the one to get up at night to check out the scary noises. It often means being the one to get out in the rain to change a flat tire. Historically, this has meant certain gestures like opening doors and pulling out chairs. Of course, the point isn't that a wife is incapable of pulling out her chair or opening a door. The point is to honor her in this way that God has created her uniquely. This is part of her image bearing, her glory bearing. Each of these are appropriate expressions of honor to our wives as weaker vessels. However, the point isn't the particular expressions, but that honor is expressed. Do you see that? The point isn't the particular expression of it, but that it is expressed. What's more, it means actually praising the beauty uniquely displayed in their relative frailty. You understand that? It doesn't just mean not mocking them for being physically weaker. It doesn't even just mean acknowledging that there may be some good in it. But it means even more particularly praising the beauty uniquely displayed in the relative frailty. Marble statues have a kind of honor, right? Stand the test of time. I was over in Athens a couple of years ago, I guess it was already. And some of the marble statues that have stood the test of time are just awesome to behold. There's a kind of honor in them. It's neat to talk about them and draw attention to them. Marble statues have one kind of honor, but delicate flowers have another. And if you miss out on that, if you fail to see the unique honor of each, you're going to miss out on something significant about God's person and God's creation. Likewise, if we fail to see the unique honor of the weakness of our wives, we will miss out on something truly awesome. Men, if you have a wife, she's had a baby, to watch her hold that baby, it is her weakness. It is her greatest strength. Moms are often able to look at, in the sense that Peter means it here, they're often able to hold and look at their children in a way that ought to inspire awe. It isn't always accessible to us. But before turning to the second thing, that specific thing that Peter says we need to understand, men, consider this. The fact that the wife is referred to as the weaker vessel, what does that mean? It means that men and women are both weak vessels. Do you see that? That women are weaker vessels implies that men too are weak. Any man of God knows this full well. God alone possesses true strength. God alone is strong. All mankind, by comparison, is absolutely puny. To honor our wives, we must not only know that they are weaker, but also that we are weak. We're not comparing them to us as the pillars of strength. We're comparing them to us as equally weak under God. That's the first thing to see. If we're to live with our wives in an understanding way and as a means of honoring them, showing their honor, first we need to understand that they are a weaker vessel, Peter says. The second piece of specific knowledge that husbands must bear in mind for to do this is the fact that our wives are heirs with us in Christ's kingdom. Go back to chapter 1 if you have your Bibles and look at verses 3 and 4. Peter wrote that our wives, if they are Christian anyway, which not all the husbands to which Peter was writing had Christian wives, but our wives, if they are Christians anyway, have been caused along with you and I to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled and unfading, kept in heaven for them. Men, hear this. Please hear this to keep yourself from being a chauvinist. To keep yourself from being an ungodly sexist. While there are differences in roles between husbands and wives, and there are, God designed us that way. While there are differences in roles between husbands and wives, there are no differences in heavenly status or inheritance. If we are to properly show honor to our wives, this knowledge will be continually at the front of our minds. Whatever differences we might have, men, whatever differences there might be between God's design between us and our wives, this similarity, the similarity that we are co-heirs in Christ, co-equals in the kingdom of God, this similarity is the lens through which we must look at them all. You get that? Do you see that, men? You need to see that, or you're going to be abusive in some way to your wives. If you don't get that we are all equal in the kingdom of God, in terms of our value to God, in terms of our worth to God, if you don't get that we're all weak before God and frail and needing of grace, and that our only hope is Christ, if you don't get all that, whatever differences that God's Word has given us and our lives experience, we're going to look at all wrongly. And so on a practical level, to show our wives honor as co-heirs, We show that honor to them as co-heirs by eagerly learning from them the things of God, by asking them about how they understand the Bible, by asking them to share what it is like for them to commune with God. It's going to be different than you and I. And there's much we can gain from it. By asking them how they seek to obey the various commands of the Bible. By treating them as the spiritual equals that they are. By making sure they have opportunities to use their gifts and bless the home, the church, and the world. And by drawing attention to their uniquely God-honoring replies and expressions of each of these things. This means the means of showing honor to our wives, once again, according to Peter, is living with them in an understanding way, or according to knowledge. Particularly the knowledge that they are weaker vessels and that they are co-heirs with us in God's kingdom, insofar as they're trusting in Jesus. And this then leads to the last thing, and the most serious thing. The reason for this. Men, why? Why do we do this? The biggest reason in the context is to show the honor of Christ, but there's a specific reason here. The nature of the command is esteeming God's image in our wives. The primary means is living with them in an understanding way. And the reason, the explicit reason given here, is that our prayers may not be hindered. Evidently, husbands, if we do not show honor to our wives in this way, our prayers are obstructed, delayed, made more difficult. This is an amazing thought. Man, this is an amazing threat. Now, there are great threats for unbelievers. Eternal conscious torment. Eternal destruction under the wrath of God. That's an amazing threat to unbelievers. But ask yourself, husbands, is there a more significant threat in the Bible, in the New Testament, for Christians? Can you think of a more serious threat in the New Testament for Christians? What could be worse for a Christian than to know that God has closed his ears to them? The very thought that there's anything we could do to cause God to stop listening to us ought to make us tremble. And the point of saying this, guys, this is not optional. This is not a minor blip. This is not a small piece of what God expects of you and I. This threat is unparalleled in the New Testament. The severity of the threat simultaneously highlights the importance and seriousness of Peter's command. God would not threaten such a significant act of discipline for a trivial matter. No such consequence is attached to failing to tuck in one's shirt or eat with your mouth open. Such discipline is reserved for exceptionally important matters. Men, husbands, don't miss this. Don't think of honoring your wife as a small, inconsequential thing, for God doesn't see it that way. There's no more serious threat he could attach to this, which means there's very little in this life that's more serious than honoring our wives in this way. We must love what God loves and esteem what God esteems and exalt what God exalts. And Peter makes clear the fact that God loves, esteems, and exalts our wives. That is, God gives and shows the honor of our wives. And so must we. Husbands, I don't know if you've ever thought in these terms, but I think Peter's telling you and I that we need to. Are you experiencing any spiritual dryness in your life? Has God felt distant to you lately? Has your ministry struggled to bear fruit, or have you struggled even to have a ministry? Have your prayers seemed to fall on deaf ears? Perhaps, according to this passage, and there aren't many other threats like this, that's because you're not properly honoring your wife. The consequences of failing to obey this command are that high. Don't miss that. And so, men, here's my conclusion. This is an important calling on our lives. There aren't many higher, according to the threat anyway. The reason I chose to include 1 through 6 in the scripture reading, verses 1 through 6, is to help you and I see that it is largely our failure to obey verse 7 that makes 1 through 6 necessary. 1 through 6 wouldn't be there if husbands obeyed verse 7. For God's glory and the good of our wives, let's be men who are always about the business of showing the God-infused honor of our wives as a means of honoring God. Let us be part of the chorus of men who rise up and declare the honor of Christ in the honor of our wives. And in so doing, Peter wrote, we will glorify God and minister to the watching, unbelieving world. Amen.